Shalom, welcome to ASJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, this week's latest scandal involving the trade-off with the Taliban Muslim terrorists, I hope, God willing, will weaken the Obama administration in a serious way. Let's hope so. The other scandals involving the IRS and involving all the other terrible things that this lawless, evil, immoral, anti-American administration has done haven't really weakened them that much. Obama continues to do what he wants to do. He continues to rule like a dictator and an emperor. But let's hope that this scandal has a greater effect. Of course, in this situation, you have an American so-called POW, and I say so-called because he was a deserter, he was a traitor, he converted to Islam, he wanted to join the Muslim terrorists to murder his fellow Americans, he wanted to assist them in murdering his fellow Americans. So that's not really a POW in the true sense of the word, he's a traitor, he's the scum of the earth. Instead of trading on his behalf, he should have been regarded as part of the enemy. That would have been a normal, sane policy. But, of course, Barack Hussein Obama went out of his way to help this guy especially. This guy especially Obama went out of his way to help because Obama wants to help his fellow Muslims. This guy's father. Did you see Bo Bergdahl's father at the White House Rose Garden press conference that they held with Obama? Obama standing there with the two parents, with Bergdahl's father and mother. And Bergdahl's father, who looks like a Muslim, starts speaking in Arabic and praising Allah. He praises Allah and starts speaking in Arabic in a message to the Muslim terrorists. This is the family that this beast comes from. So, of course, Obama considers this to be wonderful. Because that's what Obama does. Obama also praises Allah and quotes from the Quran and prays to Allah. It's the same exact history here. We're going to be doing two videos this week, God willing. We're going to be releasing two videos. I already recorded them. One in English and one in Hebrew, and then another one in English. So we're going to be doing two English language videos. A third one is in Hebrew, but for the English-speaking people, two English language videos, God willing, will be released this week on this subject. And we may cover this subject extensively, hopefully. This will be a scandal that will really, really hurt the Obama administration, because the more they're hurt, the weaker Obama is, and the more his administration is hurt, the better it is for America, for Israel, and for the world. Because Obama only does damage. He is an enemy of America, an enemy of Israel, an enemy of all decent, good, and moral things. And the weaker he is, the weaker this evil individual becomes, this evil dictator becomes, the better it is for everyone. So we'll be doing two videos on this subject this week. And hopefully this will be a subject that we'll deal with extensively in our English, especially in our English language movement. This could give us also an opportunity in our English language movement to again say, we told you so. To again remind people that we warned over and over again that this is what happens if you elect a Muslim, anti-white, anti-Semitic beast like Obama. We warned this would happen in 2008. We warned this would happen in 2012. And by the way, I'm sure our great JTFers have noticed that Hillary Clinton, who is the front runner to replace Obama, God forbid, as president, Hillary Clinton has praised the deal and endorsed the deal and supports the deal. And, you know, now she writes a book talking about all the great things she did as Secretary of State. She didn't do one good thing as Secretary of State. Everything she did was a disaster. Just like she and Bill Clinton gave North Korea nuclear bombs, in effect, by loosening all the sanctions and enabling the North Koreans to receive billions of dollars in trade and technology. The Clintons did this in the 1990s, and because of that, North Korea got nuclear weapons. Bill and Hillary Clinton are responsible for Pakistan getting nuclear weapons. They pursued the same policies of appeasement toward Muslim terrorist Pakistan. And now, Hillary Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama pursued a policy that is bringing Iran, God forbid, perilously close to obtaining nuclear weapons. Her policies as Secretary of State were a catastrophe, and she would be a catastrophe if she were president, just as Obama's a catastrophe. Everything they're doing endangers the very survival of America and Israel. Obama's policies, whether it involves a nuclear Iran, or whether it involves opening America's borders to this huge flood now of illegal alien teenagers, because Obama has decided that he's going to legalize all minors and all children of illegal aliens. He's legalizing all of them. And so that is encouraging a gigantic flood of illegal aliens in their teens to come across the border. There's a huge, record-breaking backlog of illegal aliens now flooding the borders because of Obama's actions. His actions are endangering the very survival of the United States, are bringing about the demise of the United States. And Hillary Clinton will continue and worsen that if, God forbid, she becomes president. I'm so happy that at least we have an opportunity now to expose these things, because we have new hope now that our Hebrew movement is growing so quickly. Baruch Hashem, thank God. Hopefully the huge growth in our Hebrew movement will eventually also lead to growth in the English movement. That hasn't really happened so far, but I hope that that eventually happens. I hope that eventually the English movement takes off as a result of the big, big growth in the Hebrew movement. I hope that eventually there'll be a connection there. I saw that with Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik V'Gadosh Livracha, when he was elected to the Knesset. It was not only a gigantic boost, of course, to the Kach movement in Israel. I mean, polls that showed him getting one seat, which is what he got in the 1984 election. Suddenly the polls in the 1988 election showed him getting 15 seats. His movement grew to the point where it became a major threat to the political powers that be in Israel. But I noticed that when his movement grew in Israel and became so huge, that also caused a big spike, a big growth in our movement here in the United States. It affected, when I was running the JDL and we were conducting our campaign to free Soviet Jews, our movement grew tremendously because of Rabbi Kahana being in the Knesset, because of everybody reading about that and seeing that, and we became well known. I mean, the Kahanist movement, it became well known to people that the JDL was once again, the JDL was already well known, but that the JDL once again, and the Kahana supporters once again, were a major force. This encouraged a lot of people to come to us and join us. So I'm hoping that plays out again when our movement in Israel really becomes big, God willing. Incidentally, let me read you the latest statistics. If you recall, in mid-March, when we started our advertising campaign on our Hebrew Facebook page, we had 1,830 likes. Likes are, in effect, members. So we had 1,830 members on the Hebrew Facebook page when we started in mid-March. Now it's early June still. We're approaching mid-June, but it's early June still. And the last time I looked, we had 8,372 likes, 8,372 members on our Hebrew Facebook page. If you recall last week, on the program last week, I was saying how encouraging and wonderful it is that we're approaching 8,000. We have almost 8,000 members now. Well, that was last week's SJTF. This week it's now 8,372. So we've gotten about 400 more members since last week, even though this week was the Shavuot holiday. Shavuot is the Feast of the Booths. We had a holiday this week, a two-day holiday in the United States or outside of Israel, and a one-day holiday in Israel, even though it was a holiday, and activity really slows down when there's a week with a holiday. Despite that, we increased by another 400 this past week. As a result of our very good numbers, starting this morning, I increased substantially our advertising campaign. That's really stretching our budget to the limit. Our budget now is really stretched to the limit. And so we really need help. We really need your help. I feel I have to do this because I feel we have to grow as quickly as possible. I think we have urgent things that are coming, and I really feel we have to grow quickly. So we're really stretching ourselves in order to reach a lot of people. Starting this morning, we substantially increased our advertising campaign on Facebook. And again, we're up to 8,372 likes the last time I checked. And God willing, I'm hoping at this pace that by July we'll reach the 10,000 mark, which is a substantial mark for an Israeli site. Don't forget, Israel's a small country with only 6 million Jews. So we'll already be at the 10,000 mark, God willing, if we continue at this pace. By July, we should be at the 10,000 mark. Hopefully, God willing. And then, if we continue, eventually, tens of thousands of people will be part of our movement on Facebook. That will make us a major force. So that encourages me. And it also encourages me that the English movement, I'm hoping that there'll be a positive impact on the English movement as a result of this, so that we'll be able to better fight Obama and Hillary Clinton and all the other evil people that are doing such destructive things here in the United States. Destructive to Israel, destructive to America, destructive to the world. And so now more than ever, we need your help. There are encouraging things happening, especially with the Hebrew movement. We want the English movement also to grow. We have a chance here. We've got a chance. We got a chance to make it big. We have a chance now to continue what our great leader, Rabbi Kahana, started. We've got a shot. So let's all pitch in. Let's do everything we can. Everybody should do whatever they can. We need your help. We really need your help now. Because this is the chance to fulfill our dream. This is the chance to change history and change the world. We have a real shot at doing that at this point. If people pitch in, God willing, we can do it. First of all, I ask everybody to pray for the success of our movement, to pray to God that He help our movement at this critical time. We're at a critical point, and your prayers are very helpful. You know, we believe that prayers are never wasted. A sincere prayer for good things is never a waste. Even if you think your prayer hasn't been answered, you never know what the effect will be. Maybe there'll be a positive effect on something else that you don't even foresee. Or maybe there'll be a positive effect in the next generation even. God never forgets when we do something good, when we turn to Him, when we pray to Him, and when we do good deeds. God never forgets. God loves us and He never forgets. Prayers are never wasted. You never know what effect your prayer may have. Don't think that if you pray for something and you don't get it, if it's a good thing, and you pray for something and you don't get it right away, or it's not answered right away, and you think, oh, I prayed for this so many times, none of your prayers were a waste. All of your prayers had value. You never know what effect those prayers will have at some point, in some situation. You never know when God will decide to do something good because of the fact that you prayed. It may not be in the area that you're praying about. It may be in a different area. God makes His decisions. But prayers do have value. And we ask you, please pray for the success of our movement. And secondly, you see us uploading videos in English and in Hebrew. Please like, comment, and share those videos on Facebook. You see the videos in the general discussion section. I sticky thread them. Please like, comment, and share them on Facebook. Help us promote them on Facebook, on our Facebook pages. And please like, comment, and mirror those videos on YouTube, so we can promote them both. We can promote them both on Facebook and on YouTube, the English and the Hebrew videos. That's the second thing. And the third thing that you can do, of course, good posts and good threads on our forum and on our Facebook pages. All of that is very helpful. That invites people and attracts people to our movement and makes them want to become active with us. And last but not least, the fourth thing, which is the final thing I'm going to mention. Of course we need checks, money orders, and cash donations. Oh, if only we had a Sheldon Adelson or some really wealthy Jew who could help us now, or some Jew who knew how to raise a lot of money, who knew how to bring in the money. This is a time when we literally could change Israel, literally save Israel, change the world, change history. We have a chance of doing this now. I mean, we've proven with our campaign that when people see our page through advertising, they respond, and they respond, I'm talking about Israeli Jews, they respond in big numbers, numbers that have surprised us. With our very meager budget, we've gone from 1,800 to 8,300 plus, to 8,300 plus likes in 2.5 months. Imagine if we had a bigger budget. Every check, every money order, every cash donation now can make a big difference. We're really stretching our budget. We're doing some major advertising, and we're really stretching our budget. We need your help. We need your help. So please support us as generously as you can. This is a critical time. And if you prefer, instead of sending a check, money order, or cash donation to the post office box, if you prefer for the sake of convenience to do it with your credit card online, that's fine as well. You can just go to the donate button on the Hebrew main page on hayamin.org. On hayamin.org there's a donate button in English. Everything else on the Hebrew main page, of course, is in Hebrew. But on top, on the very top, there's a donate button in English. You click on the donate button, and it's very easy and convenient. In several minutes, you can make a convenient PayPal credit card donation. And for us, it doesn't matter whether you do it online or whether you do it by sending a check or money order or cash donation to the post office box. It doesn't matter. Any way you want to do it, any way that's convenient for you, to us, it makes no difference. It helps. Any way you decide to do it, it helps. And I thank the wonderful JTFers that have let us come this far. You know how many thousands of Israeli Jews you're reaching and changing them and opening their eyes and bringing them hope? What a wonderful, blessed thing to do. What a wonderful reason to be in this world. To know that you're helping a just cause, a righteous cause. That you're not allowing the injustice of what happened to Rabbi Kahana, what happens to good Jews in Israel. You're not allowing that injustice to go unanswered. You're not remaining silent. You're making sure that we reach people with the truth to wake people up. Now that Hashem has given us this opportunity, Baruch Hashem, thank God. And so God bless the great JTFers that have been helping us on a regular basis, generously helping us, and helping us by working hard for us as well. God bless the great JTFers that are helping us. God bless you, God bless your families and your loved ones in this world and in the next. All right, let's get to our questions from our great JTFers now. And we start out with the great Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, thoughts on these people." 50 Cent. All right, let's start with 50 Cent. We've got here, by the way, 1, 2, 3, 4. We got 4 rap so-called artists. I don't think what they're doing is art. I think what they do is garbage. But anyway, 4 of them, and obviously I can't stand that. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The last one is not rap. The last one is an English pop band. But anyway, let's go through the list of these 4. First, we have 50 Cent, who's a so-called rapper. And by the way, he's not worth 1 cent. And the reason, it doesn't say 50 cents, it says 50 Cent. You know, it's to show, he's showing what an ignorant, moron, Ebonic-speaking, housing project ghetto moron he is. By calling himself 50 Cent. He doesn't call himself 50 cents even. Even that's too much for this moron, for this a single-digit IQ mental midget. Anyway, 50 Cent, well, you know, He's a cocaine, heroin, and crack dealer. He's a convicted drug dealer. This is someone who sells poison to his own community. Sells cocaine and heroin and crack. Poison to his own community. And poison that leads to a torturous death and turns people into demons. I mean, you become a demon when you become a drug addict. And he himself doesn't actually use this stuff. He just did it for profit to his own people. That's the type of scum that he is. He's low-life, ghetto scum. Not one thing in his life is worth anything. He's pure scum. That's 50 Cent. And the next one is LL Cool J. LL Cool J. Mm-hmm. Another so-called rapper. Another complete moron. Someone with no brains, no talent, nothing. Who just contributes to the decay and the downfall of society with his hideous noise and makes millions of dollars with hideous, disgusting noise. And the next one is Ja Rule. That's another so-called rapper, Ja Rule. His wife, by the way, is Aisha. That's his wife's name, Aisha. Now, JTFers know who Aisha was historically. Aisha was the six-year-old girl that Mohammed married when he was in his 50s. He's in his 50s and he marries a six-year-old girl. And it says in the hadith that Mohammed, the pedophile, had sexual relations with her when she was 9 years old. That was Aisha. That was his last wife. And Ja Rule, his wife, is called Aisha. Is named after this victim of Muhammad's pedophilia. What a wonderful name to give somebody. Muhammad's final wife, his six-year-old child bride. Anyway, Ja Rule is convicted, of course, of drug. He was convicted of drug possession, illegal gun possession, tax evasion, maybe other things that I don't remember. But I know he was convicted of drug possession, illegal gun possession, tax evasion. Again, pure scum. Scum. And finally, Wandering Samurai writes, asks about One Direction. One Direction is an English pop band. I honestly don't know much about. Okay? I only know, the only things I know about are things that I see either on YouTube or sometimes when I'm looking for news events and other events for our videos or for information for our videos. Sometimes I'll go to the New York Post, a website or other websites, and there's all types of gossip and garbage there. So I see these things. One Direction, I know it's an English pop band, but I don't know anything else about them. I doubt very much I would like their music. I'll bet anything that I would hate their music, their so-called music. I'll bet you anything I wouldn't like their music. But I don't know, but I don't really know much about them. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And now we go to our great friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you think about a group that is trying to ban Israeli products from store shelves? Thanks, unquote. Well, of course, these are Jew haters. They want to destroy Israel. By the way, Israel's the only country that they single out for boycotts. Muslim terrorist Iran that murdered millions even of their fellow Muslims. No, they don't boycott Iran. Saudi Arabia and Egypt, where they chop off the clitorises of their little girls who are 6 years old. A girl, six-year-old Muslim girl, she's held down by her father who chops off her clitoris, usually with some sharp instrument, a broken bottle, a rusty can. And this is what they do. And very often, of course, they get infected. And these monstrous countries, these monstrous Nazi countries that have murdered millions of their, even of their fellow Muslims, have participated in the murder of millions of people. They're never boycotted. Israel, that spends all of her time appeasing and getting down on her hands and knees to the whole world, the most appeasing, insane country in the world, she's boycotted. She's the victim of a huge international boycott. When will we learn that Israel has nothing to lose and everything to gain by pursuing a Kahanist policy of getting rid of her Arab population, by encouraging them to immigrate, and doing what Israel has to do to survive? Israel should never be worried about what the anti-Semites are going to say. In fact, the opposite. The opposite. When Israel is winning, the anti-Semites are very upset. This should actually encourage us. When they're all hysterical and upset, that means we're winning. They praise us when we want to commit suicide. Then they give Nobel Peace Prizes when we're committing suicide. All the anti-Semites, then they pray. They give you a pat on the head like they did to Shimon Persky, Shimon Peres, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, and Yitzhak Rabin, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. They gave them a pat on the head and a Nobel Peace Prize together with Yasser Arafat. Or they'll have a moment of silence to commemorate the Holocaust, because they love Jewish Holocausts. When the Jews are in the Holocaust, that they like, they enjoy that. But when Israel's winning, or when Israel does anything, the slightest thing, to survive, even when Israel doesn't do what has to be done to survive, they're hysterical over everything Israel does. Israel has nothing to lose and everything to gain by pursuing courageous policies that will protect the Jewish state. In fact, although the same Jew haters that are against Israel now will still be against Israel, the world will still be condemning Israel, there'll still be the Jew-hating double standard, all that will still happen if we take power. But at least people will respect us. We'll be respected once again if we have a strong Israel and a strong government and a strong army. Israel will be respected once again. Even if they hate us, they'll respect us. Now they hate us and they have contempt for us. A lot of these Israeli products that are being banned from store shelves, by the way, most of their employees are Arabs. So they're actually hurting the Arabs more than the Jews. And I'm glad, by the way, I hope the companies that employ Arabs, I'm glad they're getting hurt. Screw them. I despise these companies that help Israel's enemies and hire all of Israel's enemies and don't care about the consequences. So, not all of them, but some of the Israeli products are in that category. But the big lesson to be learned here is Israel can survive and flourish and prosper tremendously. Despite boycotts and despite all of this, Israel can easily prosper tremendously. If only we finally have a government that liberates the economy, that encourages the Arabs to leave, that doesn't retreat from a single inch of Jewish land, and that protects Jewish sovereignty and Jewish survival, and takes out Israel's life-threatening enemies like the nuclear program in Iran, takes out these these existential threats. If we have a government that does that, Israel will prosper and flourish, and all the boycotts in the world will not be able to bring Israel down. Because God will protect Israel if Israel does the right thing. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And now we go to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "One, your thoughts on the Israeli Pride Parade," unquote. Well, it's run by the Jewish establishment traitors. You know, they never, ever gave a permit. You know, they give permits to groups to march in the parade. They never gave the JDL a permit. We used to march without a permit. We just went in and marched anyway, whether they liked it or not. And they didn't want a confrontation, an embarrassing confrontation in the middle of the parade, so they would let us march, but they never would give us a permit. And I guarantee if JTF applied for a permit to march, they would never give JTF a permit to march. But they give Peace Now, and they give the homosexuals, and they give the deformed, and they give the Boycott Israel anti-Semites, they give them permits to march, and J Street. Every traitor, every evil scum, every vile Jewish anti-Semite, every Judenrat capo piece of filth automatically gets a permit to march in the Israeli parade from the Jewish establishment whores that run that parade. But if the JDL or JTF ever applied for a permit, they never get a permit. If that doesn't show the evil people that are running these things, then I don't know what will. A lot of the ordinary average people that go to the parade are good Jews who just want to express their support for Israel. But the fact is the people running the parade, like all the Jewish establishment organizations, are evil. And now Dr. Dan writes, too, give a history lesson about the Irgun, Stern, Jabotinsky, Begin, etc. Okay. Well, Zaev Jabotinsky, who was a secular nationalist, he didn't believe in Judaism. He didn't believe in the Torah. He was very secular. But he wanted to create a Jewish state. He wanted to create a Jewish homeland, a secular Jewish homeland. And he wanted millions of Arabs to be living in that homeland. He said there's room in a Jewish, there'll be room in a Jewish state for millions of Arabs to live there as well. So it shows you the type of distortion of Jewish interests that you get from someone who's a secular nationalist. Nevertheless, he formed groups like Beitar. Beitar was the group he formed in Poland and in Europe that had many members. They had, at one point, they had, I think, 80,000 members just in Poland, Beitar. And that eventually turned into the Irgun Tzvai Leumi. Irgun Tzvai Leumi in Hebrew means the Jewish military organization. Jabotinsky formed the Irgun. And the break-off of that was the Stern group, Lehi, Fighters for the Freedom of Israel. Those two freedom-fighting underground organizations, the Irgun and the Stern group, were very brave. They were Jewish heroes. They fought heroically to get the British out of the land of Israel and to create a Jewish state. Without them, the British would not have left. Without them, the Arabs would have, eventually the Arabs, with the help of the British, would have overrun the land of Israel. We would never have had a Jewish state. Jabotinsky, to his credit, did form the Irgun. To his credit, did fight for the creation of a Jewish homeland. So he did some good things. Menachem Begin, to his credit, was the commander of the Irgun during the peak of the Irgun's campaign to liberate the land of Israel. So Begin and Jabotinsky deserve credit for that. But Jabotinsky also did some terrible things. The British, for instance, were willing to remove the Arabs from the Jewish sections of the land of Israel. They were saying, well, obviously, if we're going to have a partition in the land of Israel, the Arabs can't be living among the Jews. The British army was going to go in and remove the Arabs. Because they assumed, they're normal, they just assumed, the Arabs want to kill you, they're praising Hitler, we can't expect the Jews to live with this hostile, murderous minority. So, as a sign of good faith, the British army was going to go in and they were going to remove the Arabs for us. And Jabotinsky stopped it. Jabotinsky was the one who stopped it. He said, no, 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 you can't do that. It's undemocratic and we don't mind having Arabs living among us. We're happy to have Arabs living among us. So this is the type of twisted, liberal, democratic thinking that characterized Jabotinsky. He wanted a Jewish state. He formed freedom-fighting underground organizations that created a Jewish state. That's all in his credit, but he also did a lot of crazy things. And eventually we saw the consequences once Israel came into being. When Menachem Begin became prime minister, he gave away the entire Sinai. He did terrible things as prime minister. He was a disastrous prime minister. I mean, one of the worst leaders in Israel's history. He was disastrous. As the commander of the Irgun, when he was underground, he was a hero, Begin. But when he became prime minister, he was a catastrophe. Which just shows secular nationalism doesn't work. Secular Zionism doesn't work. Zionism must be based upon the Torah and our belief in God and our faith in God and the type of true Torah Zionism that Rabbi Kahana, our leader, taught us. And Dr. Dan now writes, who were Begin's, Jabotinsky's heroes? Unquote. I don't know who the heroes were, but I think if you read Mered, which means the revolt, which is revolt in the name of Begin's book. I think probably their heroes were the heroic Jews in the Irgun and the Stern group who put their lives on the line and in many cases gave their lives. They were hanged by the British, murdered, tortured to death. These heroic Jews, many of whom were teenagers, real, real Jewish heroes, unbelievably brave Jewish heroes. They were probably Begin's and Jabotinsky's heroes, or at least they should have been. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And now we go to our great friend Yemach Shmor Jabnik, who writes, and I quote, one, curse Uri Davis, unquote. Oh, absolutely. Uri Davis is an Israeli Jewish leftist who grew up on a kibbutz and converted to Islam, married an Arab Jew hater, converted to Islam, supports Israel's destruction, and joined the Fatah terrorists in the 1980s. He actually joined the Fatah terrorists in the 80s. He joined Arafat's terror organization in the 80s. And this is an Israeli Jewish leftist joining a Muslim terror organization that's committing genocide against the Jewish people. That's Uri Davis. Yamach shmo v'zichro shem reshaim yirkav. May his name and memory be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. And Yamach shmo Jobnik now writes, too, discuss how Nixon administration betrayed India in favor of Red China and Muslim Nazi Pakistan, unquote. Very, very true. Very, very true. In 1971, there was something called West Pakistan and East Pakistan. West Pakistan was a part of India that was artificially carved up by the evil British Empire. They created this phony Muslim state called West Pakistan, and then East Pakistan was a part of Eastern India that was carved out. Both of those countries, West Pakistan, East Pakistan, were really part of India and were unfairly stolen from India by the British Empire, who created these two Pakistani states. Anyway, in 1971, because West Pakistan was committing genocide, actually committing genocide against the East Pakistanis, because, you know, Muslims always slaughter each other. When they can't slaughter non-Muslims, they slaughter each other. East Pakistan demanded independence. They wanted to become an independent country called Bangladesh. And so they started a revolt, and the Indian army intervened on the side of the Bengalis, the Bengali Pakistanis in East Pakistan. Nixon supported Pakistan against India and supported Red China against India. So it's part of the betrayals and the evil behavior of the Nixon administration. That was in 1971. By the way, the Pakistani Muslims murdered over 3 million of their fellow Muslims, Muslim men, women, and children, in a huge Holocaust, a huge genocide that they committed in Bangladesh in 1971. 3 million Bengali Muslims, men, women, and children, were murdered in a Holocaust at the hands of their fellow Muslims, the Pakistani Muslims. The Pakistani Muslims are Nazis who have already committed genocide, who have murdered millions of their fellow Muslims. And Nixon supported them when they did it, the Nixon administration. Yamach shmo Jobnik now writes, 3, expose black racist Danny Glover. Oh, another animal, Yamach shmo v'zichro. A black Jew-hating racist who calls for a complete boycott of Israel. He doesn't call for a boycott of Muslim nations like Sudan. You know, Sudan slaughtered 3 million. I was telling you about how Pakistan slaughtered 3 million Bengali Muslims. Well, another 3 million Muslims were slaughtered. Or another 3 million. No, this is actually not all of them were Muslim. 3 million blacks. Another 3 million people were slaughtered. 3 million blacks this time. Since the 1960s have been slaughtered in the Sudan. The Arabs in northern Sudan have murdered 3 million blacks in the southern Sudan. Many of them Muslims. Even though they're Muslims, they just slaughtered them. Again, another Holocaust committed by Muslims. The Muslims commit Holocausts, and no one says a word. And Danny Glover doesn't want to boycott them, but he wants to boycott Little Israel. The Little Israel country that just wants to survive, and that's surrounded by enemies that want to exterminate her. Danny Glover doesn't want to boycott Saudi Arabia, where slavery, there's slavery in Saudi Arabia, and black slaves in Saudi Arabia, in Algeria, in Morocco, in all these Arab Muslim countries, you have huge numbers of black slaves from Africa to this day. There's still slavery to this day. Black people are slaves in Arab Muslim countries. And again, the Arabs in the Sudan have slaughtered millions of blacks. And Danny Glover doesn't care about any of that. The only thing he cares about is boycotting Israel and calling for hatred of Israel, of the Jews, the one people that helped his people, unfortunately, that helped the blacks in the civil rights movement, which of course was a tragic mistake or a crime to do that. But this animal, Danny Glover, this ugly, jealous simian primate, You know, the simian primate, Danny Glover, he's given so many acting jobs and he has zero talent, a complete piece of subhuman garbage. And all the Hollywood Jews, all the self-hating Hollywood Jews and the self-hating whites, they give him so many opportunities, acting, producing, directing, running films and running things. Just a simian primate, an ugly, jealous, low IQ simian primate. Thank you, Yamach Shmo to Jobnik. And now we go to the great Lewinsky stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, discuss Bo Bergdahl, the American Gilad Shalit. Yamach Shmo v'zichro. Okay. I did discuss it, by the way, in the opening, the Lewinsky stinks. You read my mind. And I expect that we'll be discussing it more. We have two videos that I already recorded on this that we hope to be releasing this week on this. Two English language videos in addition to a Hebrew language video on this subject. And Gilad, we do discuss in one of the videos, Gilad Shalit. We discuss, I don't want to spoil the video, but we do discuss it. And you're right. This is the equivalent of Gilad Shalit. He's also a traitor, a left-wing traitor. But I don't want to spoil the video. I don't want to go into too much detail because we should be releasing a video on this very soon. And I don't want to spoil. I already recorded the video. I don't want to spoil that. But you're absolutely right in making the comparison. And Lewinsky writes now, and Lewinsky stinks writes, and I quote, Kurva McConnell, meaning Mitch McConnell, is very proud of himself for beating Matt Bevin. Please explain how Kentucky's demographics and culture are changing like the rest of America's and how the Turtle may very well lose in November to Grimes, unquote. God willing, I hope he loses to Grimes. I hate Grimes. She's a Democrat. She's, you know, all the Democrats are evil. I hate her. But as a freshman senator, she'll do a lot less harm to America than Mitch McConnell will as Senate Minority Leader or Majority Leader. He'll be either the minority, depending on whether or not the Republicans take control of the Senate, he'll be either the Majority Leader of the Senate or the Minority Leader. And he is a complete fraud and a sellout who does unbelievable damage to this country, who supports amnesty for the illegals, open borders, affirmative action, massive spending, supported all the big tax increases over the years of Bush, and all the crazy expansions of government programs, funds Obamacare, stabbed Ted Cruz in the back. When Ted Cruz was trying to defund Obamacare, Mitch McConnell was the first one to stab him in the back. I mean, he's just the lowest and the most evil establishment whore. And so he should lose in November. This is an example. You know, we almost always support the Republicans as the lesser of the evils. But there are cases where the Republican actually does more harm than the Democrat, and I think this is one of those cases. I really do. I think McConnell is even worse than Grimes. They're both terrible, but I think McConnell is even worse. We supported Matt Bevin, of course. Now, we supported him. What could we do for him? There wasn't much we could do for him, but we wanted Matt Bevin to win. Matt Bevin was a Tea Party candidate who challenged McConnell in the Republican primary, but the stupid voters in that primary, the majority of the voters in that primary proved how stupid they are by voting for McConnell against a good, loyal Republican, a real conservative like Matt Bevin. Sad. Sad but true. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we now go to the great Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, which civilization was more righteous, ancient Greece or ancient pre-Islamic Persia, unquote. I don't think either one of them were righteous. I think they both were evil. I think they both murdered huge numbers of people. Huge numbers of people. They conquered dozens of nations and had gigantic empires and murdered, with tremendous cruelty, murdered unbelievably large numbers for those days of men, women, and children, spanning across continents, Asia, Europe, Africa. In the case of Greece, Europe, Asia. I mean, just tremendous empires. Ancient Greece was actually a huge empire at one point, and so was Persia. In my opinion, ancient Greece was worse. Ancient Greece was even crueler. despite the fact that, yes, they were very intelligent, and yes, they were very advanced, and yes, they had an incredible culture and civilization, and they were brilliant, and there's no question that Aristotle and Socrates, I mean, they were brilliant. There's no question, they were brilliant. I'm not denying that, but they were evil. You know, evil geniuses can do terrible harm in the world, and they were evil. And their evil empire, the Greek evil empire, was the inspiration for the evil Roman Empire, which did even worse things. So, I would say Greece was worse. I would say Greece was worse, and Persia was probably preferable to Greece. In the war between Greece and Persia, I would have been rooting for Persia in that war. And of course, we're talking about obviously pre-Islamic Persia, obviously the days of the Zoroastrians and the pre-Islamic days. We're not speaking, of course, about when the Persians adopted Islam or were conquered by the Muslims. Thank you, Da Vinci. And we now go to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, a George Wahhabi Bush-appointed judge, quote-unquote, ruled that the Pennsylvania ban on fag marriage is illegal. Can you explain how this works? Until recently, no law was required to ban fag marriage because everyone knew that marriage is between a man and a woman. What if there was no law banning fag marriage? Could the court still rule that it should be legal? How can a judge legalize it without legislation legalizing it? They can turn down laws, but how can they legislate on a state-by-state basis? This seems like a violation of the Ninth Amendment. Pennsylvania was the only state in the Northeast that still banned it, unquote. Well, Binyamin, they could do anything they want now. The courts are able, through their rulings, they're getting away with it. They're dictating to society what we can and cannot accept. What happens is you have one of these sodomite couples who apply to marry, get married in a state like Pennsylvania, even if there was no law in Pennsylvania. Let's say they apply to get married in Pennsylvania, and the Pennsylvania marriage clerk says to them, well, we can't because it says a man and a woman, we can't. Even if there's no law, they could go to a judge and say, hey, look at this. They're not letting us get married just because it's a same-sex couple. And the judge can rule, that's unconstitutional, you can't do that. It's just so unbelievable. What a sick, sick country this is becoming. Really sick. It's tragic. It really is tragic. Thank you, Binyamin. And we now go to our great friend Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, your opinion on Debbie Schussel, unquote. Unless somebody shows me something to the contrary, I think she's pretty good. I mean, everything I've seen her write so far, I pretty much agree with what she writes. I think she's pretty good from what I've seen. Maybe there's something that she stands for, you know, I've been disappointed so many times by many people. Maybe there's something that I don't know about, but from what I've seen, she seems to be pretty good. I like what I've seen that she's written. I think most of what I've seen, at least, and I've seen her, I've seen dozens of things that she's written, they all seem to make sense. And she seems to be a very courageous person. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we now go to the great Italian Zionist. Oh, it's so good to see you. The great Italian Zionist writes, and I quote, Chaim, did you see PBS commentary on Sobibor uprising? The Jews killed many Nazis. Unquote. I didn't see that, but it sounds like it would be an interesting program. Italian Zionist now writes, one Jew visited a Nazi guard years later. Did you know this? Unquote. You mean visited him in a friendly way? Or visited him for revenge? I don't know. I guess it depends. If you visited him in a friendly way, then this Jew is a very sick person. But if he visited him to avenge what happened during the Holocaust and to kill him, that would be a different story altogether. I did not know. I didn't see the commentary, the documentary, but it sounds very interesting. Thank you, Italian Zionist. Interesting. Very interesting. And we now go to the great Mensch, who writes, and I quote, "What can Israel learn from Ukraine's current predicament? Expand on the territorial guarantees by UK, US, and Russia." Okay, unquote. Well, obviously these guarantees aren't worth anything. You know, none of these things are worth anything. Israel has to learn that the only thing that counts are facts on the ground. Putting as many Jews as possible in Judea and Samaria, that is what counts, not guarantees and promises. They don't mean anything. Israel will always be betrayed. Nobody ever keeps their word to Israel. We should put as many Jews as possible into communities in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, East Jerusalem especially, and the Golan Heights. That's what we should be doing to prevent an Israeli surrender. And we should begin an aggressive program of encouraging the Arabs to leave with compensation, which they would do if they were offered reasonable compensation. We should begin an aggressive program to encourage them to do this, and especially if we cut off all the goodies that the Israeli government gives them, which of course, if we're in power, we will cut that off. That is creating facts on the ground. If the Arabs leave and they sign agreements promising that they'll never come back and never visit, and it's all in writing, and they leave, and we get millions of Arabs out of Israel, that is good for Israel. And destroying Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, that would be good for Israel. Just destroy it. Don't worry about the reaction. Worry about the reaction afterwards. Afterwards, you'll explain why we did it. I, as Prime Minister, would not spend years explaining and explaining like Netanyahu does. He explains and he does nothing and in the end surrenders. I would do first. I'd send the Israeli Air Force in to destroy Iran's nuclear program, and then I'll do the explaining after it's already too late and it's done and they have to accept it as a fact. Then I'll explain. I would do first and explain later. But the territorial guarantees offered to Ukraine or offered to any other country are not worth the paper they're written on. And any treaty that Israel signs is not worth the paper it's written on. That is something you can see over and over again in history. Thank you, Mensch. And we now go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Economic policy and capitalism in general makes the rich richer." What is the Torah's economic policy? Doesn't it have halachot to protect the poor? Unquote. Well, of course we have to be concerned about the poor and we have to protect the poor, but what is the best way to help the poor? Is the best way to give them handouts? There are times when you have to help somebody. If someone's hungry and starving, you got to feed them. If they're hungry and starving and there's no way for them to make food for themselves or get food for themselves, then you have to give them food. You have to feed them. You can't let them starve to death, God forbid. You can't let them go hungry. You've got to feed them. If they're out in the cold, you've got to give them clothes and you have to help them with their immediate need. But the goal has to be to make them self-sufficient. The goal is not to make them dependent upon handouts. The goal is to give them a job and enable them to support themselves. That is the goal. And that is the halakha, by the way. That is halacha. That is what we're encouraged to do in Pirkei Avot and Chazal Gemara. That's what we are encouraged to do. We're encouraged to enable the poor to support themselves. There is nothing better than supporting yourself and your family, the dignity of work. All work is dignified. There's no such thing as work that's not dignified, that someone should be ashamed of. No one should ever be ashamed of any type of work. Cleaning the streets, cleaning toilet bowls, it doesn't matter what. Work is dignified. All work is dignified. Someone works for a living and supports themselves and does an honest day's work, that is something to be proud of. And that's what we should be encouraging. We should try to give people good educations, and try to get them good jobs, and try to open up the economy and privatize and have as much competition as possible so there'll be plenty of employment available. That is what our goal should be. That is what our ultimate goal should be, and that is true Torah economics. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek, and we now go to our great friend EB22, who writes, and I quote, "What is your opinion of New York Republican gubernatorial candidate Rob Astorino? Does he have even an outside chance of winning in November in blue New York?" Unquote. I don't like him. He's an establishment phony. You know, he's one of these guys like Rand Paul who says we must make inroads in the black community and we must go to black people. You know, Rand Paul says, and Rob Astorino is this type of Republican. He's also, you know, the first thing he did in Westchester County is run to kiss the behinds of the black voters in Westchester County who voted over 90% against him, but that didn't matter. He still wants to kiss their behinds. But Rand Paul, just as an example, you know, he says we should free hundreds of thousands of violent black drug dealers because it's discriminatory that they're in prison. Black crack dealers. I mean, do you know how violent and evil and cruel black drug dealers are? I was locked up with these people for 5.5 years. Let me tell you something. They don't have pity on their own mothers. And Rand Paul says we should be letting them all out. He basically wants to legalize drugs. That's basically what he really wants to do. He certainly wants to legalize pot. And he basically wants to drastically reduce the punishment for people who are selling heroin, cocaine, all these other drugs. His father called for complete legalization of all drugs. And that is really what Rand Paul privately also wants, but he knows he wouldn't get the Republican nomination openly saying that, so he wants to do it through a gradual process of basically releasing all of these violent, evil drug dealers who have been peddling poison to their own children in their own communities. And Rand Paul wants to set all these people free again. Rand Paul also says you shouldn't have to have an ID. He doesn't like the fact that Republicans push for IDs, that you have to show an ID when you go to vote because to avoid voter fraud, because he says it's offensive to black people. Of course it's offensive, because many of the black voters are engaging in voter fraud. And Rand Paul says it's offensive to them to make them have to prove that they're legitimate voters. Why shouldn't everybody have to prove they're legitimate voters? To go anywhere, you have to show your ID nowadays. For selecting and making the most important decisions for the future of the country and the world, you shouldn't have to at least show your ID just show your ID to show that you really are who you claim to be. Show a legitimate ID. That's what the vast majority of Republicans support. Even establishment Republicans have supported those laws. Not Rand Paul. He says, we have to stop emphasizing that it's offensive to blacks. He's so disgusting. And Rob Astorino, he's not a Rand Paul libertarian. He's an establishment guy. But, you know, he's an appeaser. Does he have a chance of winning? He has no chance of winning in New York, in my opinion. Zero chance. I assure you, Andrew Cuomo, unless Andrew Cuomo gets into a car accident or something, or lightning strikes him, Andrew Cuomo will be reelected in November, overwhelmingly. Thank you, EB22. And we now go to our great friend, the Machnik, who writes, and I quote, "What is your opinion of these groups, RJC, JCRC, and Nefesh Ben Nefesh?" Unquote. RJC is the Republican Jewish Coalition. Just establishment hacks. Sheldon Adelson gives them millions and millions of dollars. If only Sheldon Adelson gave us millions of dollars. He wouldn't have to worry. He's so worried about Iran, he's worried about this, he's worried about that, he meets with this politician, that politician. If we had the money, if Sheldon Adelson gave us that money, I assure you, we'd be a massive movement and we would force the leaders of Israel to take action on Iran. The Republican Jewish Coalition are phonies, establishment phonies. They meet with Chris Christie, and applaud Chris Christie, and applaud who tells them that Israel's biblical heartland are occupied territories. Then they meet with Jeb Bush. Phonies. And now Imachnik asks about the JCRC. That's the Jewish Community Relations Council. Oh, what phonies. That's like, I mean, those are the UJA establishment. Those are the ultimate UJA establishment, Judenrat. That represents all the Jewish establishment organizations that do all the terrible things to the Jewish people over the years. Terrible. Terrible. And finally, Nefesh Ben Nefesh. Nefesh Ben Nefesh helps Jews that are making Aliyah. I'm all for that. If it helps Jews making Aliyah, I'm all for that. They wouldn't help me, by the way. I asked them to help me when I was banned from Israel. They wouldn't help me. They said, first you have to apply, and they don't want to get involved. So they're not particularly, they're certainly not courageous people. They're not noble or courageous people, that's for sure. But then again, how many people do we have in this generation that are noble or courageous or willing to take a real stand? Nefesh Ben Nefesh, though, does help Jews, just ordinary Jews that want to make Aliyah, facilitates things, makes things easier for them. And that's something that I think is positive. And I'm all for that. Even though they wouldn't help me, I'm glad at least that they're helping other Jews. Thank you, Imachnik. And we now go to the great Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what are your thoughts on Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed and his attendance at the recent Bilderberg meeting of power brokers in Denmark, unquote. Well, first of all, Maimonides, you're not giving us his full name. His full name is Mohammed Kasim Reed. Mohammed Kasim Reed. I mean, so what do you think I think of someone whose name is a black guy whose name is Mohammed, whose first name is Mohammed and his second name is Kasim? Two Arabic Muslim names. What do you think I think of that? He's another left-wing Obama black Democrat. He's so arrogant. I mean, I saw him on a talk show debating when Obama was running for re-election. He was so arrogant, so nasty and arrogant, and putting down anybody who in any way questions Barack Hussein Obama, his God. I mean, just disgusting. Just absolutely disgusting. Let's hope, God willing, that we could create alternative leaders someday in Israel and among the righteous Gentiles in America. Let's hope that day comes. Again, I enjoyed doing this program this week. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Until next week, Shalom.